another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
Time again. It's the second episode of the Press Play on Tape podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Daz, and with me, obviously, is my Balkan brother, Mr. Alex Boz. How are you, mate?
I'm fantastic, Daz. You?
I'm fantastic.
It's been a long while, huh? It feels like it's been ages.
It is. It does, dude. It does. You know, I wish we could do these more often, but you know, we just have to savor the moment.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
Yes. And we got someone else with us tonight.
No.
Yes.
Who?
And what? He's still alive.
No.
Yes. It's Matt Corley from the RD podcast.
Woohoo. Hello. Hello. Thank you very much for inviting me onto your podcast. This is great. And to be part of your second one, I feel very special.
You know. You are special.
You're our special guest.
Special. I'm sorry.
And what's today's topic? What's today's main topic, Alex?
The main topic, it's the real 16-bit war, my friends. None of these, you know, Super Nintendo versus Mega Drive, but this is the first ever 16-bit war. Atari ST versus the Amiga, Amiga 500 in particular. And yeah, man, it's going to be a good old-fashioned schoolyard stoush. Me on the ST. The ST side and you two on the Amiga side, or I don't know, have I got that wrong?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, I did ask Matt to come on because he's such an Amiga buff.
Oh,
oh yeah.
Bring it on, man. I hope you've got your boxing gloves on, man.
I do. And yeah, I think you're going to be outmatched here, Alex, to be completely honest with you.
You know what? I love the underdog, man, so bring it on.
Oh, really? Really? Yeah, okay. I don't see him putting out any Atari ST compendiums.
Nice one.
Comes out swinging, man.
Yeah, I do. I'm sorry, man.
I'm going to be down for the count.
Nice. All right, look, seeing that we're about to get started, we'll start off with the Atari ST. Alex, tell us about it, because look, I mean, I haven't been exposed to it, you know, really. Only once when I was doing a recording sound production course when I was in my band and etc. And that was the only time I got to actually just fiddle around with one in the studio. But I want to know the games and so on. But anyway, tell us about it.
Well, look, apart from, you know, going on Wikipedia or reading the Atari book, it was all... Yeah, the Atari ST was almost the Amiga, all right? And there's a bit of history there between the two machines, so that lends itself perfectly for... or set up the actual war perfectly that came in the late 80s. But Mr. Trammell from Commodore, that got kicked out, and, he went for a cruise around the world and all of a sudden gets a call from Warner to... you know, to see if he's interested to buying the actual home side or the home console side of Atari, and he did, and he produced the ST. But he didn't actually intend it as a games machine. That's the interesting part, right? So it's actually a business machine, a music machine, and I think the jewel of the crown part of it was the actual games machine, right? In its own right. So it did start off as getting them into the offices, but fast became popular as a games machine.
As they always do.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, and look, man, I don't know if you actually were aware, but quite a few popular artists actually use the ST as a their sound sequencing, using the sound sequencing software. But mm-hmm. You had Madonna, Eurythmics, Fatboy Slim, Utah Saints.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, you know, a few heavy hitters there using the ST. And, yeah, man, with the 50 STs, they came out with the 520, 520 ST all the way back in 1985. Then they released the STM range and the STFM. And look, I can't recall if they did hit Australia around that time, but I remember the STFMs hitting Australia probably late, well, it was probably about 87, 88, and they became quite popular. But I reckon the cream were the STE or the enhanced version of the STs. So yeah, man, they were fantastic machines. They had the Blitter chip in it. They had a 4096 color palette. And I know people are going to hang me for this, but I actually didn't mind the Atari ST Gem system. I know the Amiga Workbench was quite shit hot, but I don't know, man. I just became accustomed to the actual interface and I loved it. But anytime I went to a friend's place and I saw their Amiga, look, deep down I was actually jealous because I thought, oh yeah, this machine's a beast, right? But I had to stick up for the ST. So, but it was strange because I went from the Commodore to the ST. So,
why did you do that?
Cost. It was mainly cost.
Oh, remember? Okay.
Yeah, look, the Amigas were about $800 for a 500, and and that was just the actual computer itself. But if you got it in the pack, you know, you're paying, you know, $900 plus. So, And there was no chance I was gonna, you know, beg my parents for one. I think I asked once, and it was pretty much how much. When you know, when they found out, it was like, yeah, nah, it's not gonna happen. So, yeah, the ST was at least $200-$300 cheaper, I think. So, yeah, that was made easier for me. And I thought, well, the games are almost, you know, the same as the Amiga. And that was the main thing. But, yeah, I'm not a music person, but I did have friends that were into music, and they had a few STs. They had the 1040. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
What are the differences? Because I've noticed that there's like an ST, there's a Falcon. I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, no, look, man, there was a 520 ST, there was a 260 ST, which I don't think made to Australia. There was a 520 STM, and the M, it meant it was had a built-in TV mod, so you can actually just plug into the RF.
Okay, yep.
Then the STFM had a redesigned motherboard, right, and a built-in floppy drives as well. And then you had the Mega STs or the Mega 1, 2, and 1, 2, and 4, and I think that was to do with the Meg. But that was more like a high-end system anyway. But yeah, man, the STE range were the actual best. So they basically took the best of the 520 STFM and the 1040 STFM. Whacked in enhanced sound, the Blitter chip and a enhanced color palette. So the games on the STE, I mean, you would have to run them side by side, but they look much, much better, and especially on an Atari SC 1224 monitor as well. The other thing, I don't know if you actually were aware, but the STEs also had what later became the Jaguar ports for the actual control pads. So they basically took that and they put those on the Jag. So you can use your Jaguar control pads on the Atari STE range.
Ah, okay.
So yeah, and that's on the left side of the actual computer. But look, one thing I really, really hated, and I know people either liked it or hate or liked it or hated it, was the joysticks underneath the keyboard. I hated it.
Right. Under the keyboard?
Yeah, it's under the keyboard, man. You've got to fiddle around and, you know, you've got
How's that work?
It's because it's deep, right?
So deep.
Because it's so, it's got height. Let's say it's got height. Yeah, you actually plug in the, so the two joystick ports are underneath the keyboard on the right side. Mm-hmm. And on the left, you've got the MIDI and also the Jaguar control.
I'm looking at it. It's on the side, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not a big deal.
Look, if you're constantly changing joysticks, it's a pain in the ass.
Dude, it's better than where the Amiga ones are.
Very true.
There we go. Bang. Yeah. A hit to the hit to the cheek.
But by who? That was like by Darren, not by
I know. I mean, I hit myself.
Well, thank you very much. There we go.
It wasn't really a hit to the cheek. I blocked it.
Did you? Sorry, it's good. Sorry, man. Resume.
No, that's right, yeah. Man. No, I was gonna, go into the actual, just the minor specs that were the differentiators between the Amiga and the ST. Actually, I'll use the STE as a benchmark, right? So, they actually both had a Motorola 68K processor with a blitter. Both had 4,096 colors. The only difference was the Amiga could actually pump out 32 colors on screen at once, whereas the Atari ST 16.
So that's why it looks a bit like dull. Like, yeah, it's got that, yeah.
Absolutely right. Mm. And look, high res was 640 by 400. Now, with the special hardware, the STE got scrolling, whereas the Amiga had scrolling ham and copper. Mm-hmm. With the sound chips, obviously you've got the Paula chip on the Amiga. Some would say it's better than the actual Yamaha on the Atari. The memory. Now, the STE you could actually upgrade it to 14 meg, whereas the...
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, look, the original one you can go to 4 meg, but the STE you could actually pump in 14 meg, and the actual RAM was socketed internal.
Okay.
It's huge, 14 meg.
Yeah, 14 meg. Now, I've got 4 meg on mine, and it's absolutely it's way more than you need.
So. What would you go to 14? It's more for like music applications and stuff then.
Yeah. Mm. And remember, it was supposed to be a high-end business machine as well. So I guess Atari wanted to get the jump on the Amiga, thinking that they'll get into offices. But I know a lot of people that use them as desktop, as in the Amiga, as desktop publishing with Deluxe Paint and all that. So as well, so the Amiga was probably widely more used.
Originally that was what I used the Amiga for. It was all for my school projects, and I was using Deluxe Paint to print out some awesome displays as front covers and stuff.
Now, is that the excuse you used to get it, Matt?
Actually, that's an interesting story which I won't bore you with at the moment, but but it was given to me by a Christmas present
nice.
From my parents, actually, so
beautiful. Yeah. Oh, we'll get into that in a second, but I reckon both machines are fantastic, but yeah, the arguments at school were just phenomenal. So it carried on from the 8-bit days onto the 16-bit days. It was all in good fun. And I would say, look, the Amiga hands down was, there was always outnumbered, 10 to 1with the Amiga. So yeah, look, I've got both computers. I love the actual the 1200. I've got a 500, but that's dead. 1200 with the AGA, it's a phenomenal machine. Yeah,
but you can't really compare the 1200 to standard Atari ST, because it's not fair. Cause it's a different computer.
Well, it's 32-bit, so...
Yeah,
man, and just for those people that want to know what ST stands for, it stands for 1632. So, that was the 16-bit external bus and 32-bit internal. So that's where they got the ST name. Yeah, Atari with their
codes,
ridiculous naming conventions. Yeah. Now look, people
coined it Atari Street, didn't they? At some point. Yeah. Did you not know that?
No.
Yeah, the Atari Street. Because obviously the ST being an acronym for street, also.
Yeah.
Yes. I like it. No, I didn't. But of course, now looking at it, it makes sense. Of course. So enough of the
fun fact.
Enough, absolutely, my friend. Enough of the wonderful Atari ST. Now, one of you guys, what are you going to tell us about the Amiga?
That's got awesome games. I don't think Collie and I could get in that in depth.
Is that it?
Well, I mean,
can you? Yeah. I'll leave it to you then.
No, because then I might be wrong. I mean,
Fine. And you know what? If anyone's going to correct you, I'll say, you know what? We're just having fun, and it's what we know. So, and if it's, not 100% right, doesn't matter.
Well, I can tell you what we know is that we used to play games on it.
There was games on it. I know there was.
Was there? Yeah, there was. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was a great machine. It was called Commodore, wasn't it?
Think so. Well, actually, Commodore bought Amiga.
That's right.
That's exactly right.
Well, why don't you give us a brief history on that part, Darren, and I'll pick up the rest.
Oh, jeez. Man, I have to go back to the Commodore book.
So if you look at the Commodore and why they looked at purchasing Amiga and why they did that.
Oh, jeez. You know, didn't they want a new computer like to add to their line? Because they were working on the Commodore 65, if I'm correct. I can't remember.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah. So it was a Commodore 65, and then I think that in the end, for some reason, they purchased the Amiga. We don't know the full history about it.
I think the funny thing is, I should know because I've read On the Edge.
Now, look, basically, Amiga Corp, right, they were running out of money, and they actually were going to sell to Atari, right, because Atari actually wanted the Lorraine chipset. Mm-hmm. And Jack Tramiel, I think, or Atari put up $500K for it. And then when Amiga actually, or the Amiga Corp, found out that Tramiel was going to buy Atari, they quickly actually went to Commodore and negotiated, and Commodore, bought the $500K, repaid the debt to Atari and basically took the chipset.
Wow.
So they pretty much rolled Tramiel. Now, I don't know if that was a personal vendetta against him or not, but yeah, they were after an actual 16-bit computer anyway, so...
Well, I mean, look, I can give some brief notes, I mean, that I know, of course. I mean, the Amiga, which was sold by Commodore, the actual first model was the A1000.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was launched in 1985. So it basically was the 8-bit... Well, it was an upgrade from 8-bit from Commodore 64, so it was basically just a complete upgrade. Their newest machine was the Commodore Amiga, or the Commodore A1000.
Was it actually I don't recall seeing an Amiga 1000 back in the day. I remember the 500, that was huge, but the 1000, I don't recall. Maybe it was available, but I didn't take.
No, I'm pretty sure it was. Yes, it was, because it looked like a desktop computer.
Well, that's why.
Yeah, yeah, it looked like the 128D.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, but fatter, chunkier than that. Yeah. And if my memory serves me right, under the actual lid of the A1000 has the signatures of all the Amiga creators embossed into the plastic.
No.
Yeah.
That's cool, man.
Is cool, if that's the case. How many of them did they release then? Because obviously they quickly changed it to the Amiga 500.
Yeah, it was a cheaper model, the 500. That's what killed it. And then they released 2000. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they released those as like for, so you can add expansions, extra bigger graphics card, RAM, and so on. And then in the end, they end up doing the Amiga 600.
Yeah,
because it's supposed to be a cheaper alternative. But a lot of people say it was pretty much a waste of time. It was like the 32X for Sega.
Well, in fact, the second generation of Amiga systems was actually the A3000.
Yeah, yeah. But I was saying, like, near the end, and that's why they ended up releasing the 1200. The 1200 was actually, no, they created the CD32
from the 1200.
Yeah, yeah. Jeez, mate, I'm jumping everywhere.
I know, we are.
Yeah.
But about the A4000 was also released with the A1200.
Oh, was it at the same time?
Yeah, at the same time. Stupidly enough. And, of course, it was a huge failure.
Yeah, and it's worth a mint.
It is, yeah. It's a failure just because of the fourth generation game consoles came out.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then you had, like, Apple and IBM, just dominating the market back, in the early 90s. So, it just, unfortunately, that's where Amiga died.
It's just a pity. I mean, the Amiga had so much potential to, like, be the next Apple, you know what I mean, to actually be in everyone's offices and so on. It's just IBM came in and just destroyed everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Now, I wonder what would have happened if Atari did actually buy out Amiga. I reckon he would have had the same fate.
I think so too, because Atari went on their ass as well.
Yeah.
But I'll give you some interesting little bit of information. Do you know they used an Amiga to do the special effects for Sequest, RoboCop, and Babylon 5?
No.
Yep. I knew about the RoboCop one, yep.
And, what Amiga did they use for that?
It doesn't actually say. I would assume it would be the 3000 or the 4000. Yeah, they wouldn't have been using the Amiga 500.
No, I couldn't imagine.
Yeah,
be.
But and it's funny, I'm reading here, some effects in the James Bond movie GoldenEye as well were also created in this platform, it says.
Oh my god.
And although effects in Jurassic Park were produced in SGI workstations, the pre-visualization was performed in Amigas.
Wow.
There
that's
you go.
That's impressive.
And I've also read somewhere that the effects were also done for the movie Back to the Future. Now, don't quote me on that, though.
That's awesome. Mm. Now, I just actually realised, you know, both actually are 30 years old.
Wow.
Believe it or not. And
they
some
are,
people,
yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So some retro gamers weren't even born.
That's insane.
Well, I mean, I think they had the 30th anniversary for the Amiga recently.
Yep.
It was only about a month or two ago from memory. They had the big 30th anniversary bash for... Actually, no.
It's coming up
in July.
Yeah.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
Is that the one in Holland or Germany? Or?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Because that's when the A1000 was launched. It was July 85.
Imagine being there, man. Because both computers were huge in Europe and the UK. And here, the Amiga more so, obviously. But yeah, man, that's I'm not sure how I did or how both computers did in the US. I don't think they did that well, but here in Europe and the UK, they were just phenomenal.
Mm.
And do you know, it's funny. I mean, do you know where the name Amiga came from?
No.
Here's another little fun fact. So Amiga actually came from a Spanish word, as you're probably aware of what
that means,
I'm talking
like
about.
A girlfriend.
Well, yeah, but it's also... it means like the word for female or friend.
Yeah, yeah.
But they were looking at using the word Amigo, obviously, because that's the male version of it, but they decided to call it a female version because it was actually codenamed Lorraine.
That's right.
So therefore, the female was used instead of the male.
Oh, cool. All right, so what? Do you want to talk about our favourite games? Unfortunately, I can't tell you my favourite Atari ST games.
Which is
unfortunate.
No,
so.
I was gonna throw in another little fun fact.
Okay.
Before the Amiga Corporation was the Amiga Corporation, it was actually HiToro. So if you knew that or not, but yeah.
So, did they do anything in specific?
Well, the funny thing is Jay Miner, right, and a few other Atari guys were the ones that actually started it all. So that's the whole irony of all this, right? Is that there was cross pollination Atari and Amiga and whatnot. So it's amazing that they both ended up, you know, having a massive stoush in the end, in the schoolyards, obviously.
But
fighting for our attention and love and whatnot. So yeah, man, HiToro, Amiga Corporation. But anyway, that's history now. So onto our favourite games, man.
All right, you go first, the Atari ST. So I'm curious.
Alright,
I'll go first.
I reckon you mix it up. I reckon you go Amiga, Atari.
Okay.
Actually, I know before we started this, I asked a question. Are there any specific Amiga games that didn't make it on the ST? And I think you said maybe one or two, Daz.
Mm-hmm.
But just for those people that are on the ST fence and want to rub it into their Amiga mates, there were 10 ST games that actually didn't make it on the Amiga.
Okay.
All right, first one being Super Sprint. Yes, Super Sprint. Believe it or not. Road Runner.
Okay.
Road Runner from Bugs Bunny?
Correct, yeah.
Which I've actually seen video of that. That's really bad. The Commodore 64 version, funny enough, is the best one.
Now, I didn't say if they were good or bad. where time stood still. However, you tell me that it's been ported to the Amiga.
Yes, in the last year or two.
Yeah,
but it's actually...
You can't.
But that was... It's actually the Atari ST version that's ported over. They didn't, like, build it from scratch.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
The other one that I was actually quite surprised was Enduro Racer. Actually,
yeah,
to the Amiga, believe it or not. Oid, which was a Gravatar type game. That was awesome, actually. Still is. Ranorama.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Starquake. I don't think I've ever played Starquake.
Yeah, I played that on the C64 in Spectrum.
Yeah. Championship Wrestling never made it either. Epic's game. Slap Fight.
And, oh, wow, that would be all right.
Yeah, I know. And Train Tour, The Last Stormtrooper. So, there we go, my friends. 10 games. And I hope no one's going to go, oh, no, we can add another 15. If so, please go on our wall on Facebook and go for your life.
Train Tour, that's really weird because That's on the C64, Amstrad, and Spectrum as well, but no Amiga port. That's really weird.
So, have I landed a 1-2, Sucker Punch?
Yeah, we'll get up really easily. Don't worry about that.
I think the next round's about to occur there, Alex. Be prepared there.
All right, I'll go first with my faves.
How many are we talking about here?
I know
about my top 100 Amiga games.
No, just see standout games.
Standout games.
Yeah. All right. Probably my standout games for the Amiga would have to be. And funny enough, probably my favourite is Savage. So I don't know if you guys have played that before.
I have, yes.
Yeah, awesome. You could say it's a platformer.
It is.
It's really big sprite. But it's the music that just blows me away. Love it.
I'm embarrassed to say I've never heard of it.
Either get on it.
Or I'm actually got a blank. I can't recall anything about Savage.
It's not really that known. It was a Firebird release. You could say it was like a... it's sort of like a budget title. You know, it just wasn't that known.
It could have been released with, and I don't know for sure, but it could have been released with multi-packs.
No, it was single as well. I've actually bought that.
Did you really?
Yeah, I bought it. Yeah, pity the disc doesn't work, but... Yeah, I'm spewing. But anyway, Savage Hunter was just, I would say, probably the first sandbox game ever made.
Hunter was amazing.
It's amazing.
Now it probably... It's a game that would probably be hard to play now.
Yeah, probably if you play it, I reckon you'll have money for nothing playing in your head. It's just the graphics. True. Yeah, reminds me of that film clip. Yeah.
It was cool, right? You could jump in a helicopter, drive a car.
Ride a bike.
It was everything like that and more. And you know what? With that game, that's all I did.
Yeah, me too.
And I never actually played. What's the plot of the game?
I had no idea. I had no idea what to do. But yeah, it was just amazing.
I think you have to find someone.
I don't know. I should actually pop it in and play. It'll be interesting.
Man. It'll be a hard one.
Right. You know what? We'll play it this weekend, Corley.
All right. We'll do it. For sure.
We'll do that.
Without Alex.
Oh, come on, guys.
What else? Oh, back in the day, what else did I really enjoy on there? This is a quirky one that a lot of people don't know about. Is that Oops Up?
Yeah.
The paint clone.
You know what I love about that game is the music.
The music.
Oops Up. Side your head. Oops Up.
Yeah.
That's how it is.
So it was the band again. What was the band? It Snap. That's it. Yeah. 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 It was a paint clone, but it was cool.
Great game, man.
Yeah. And the music really, you know, kept it upbeat and all that was awesome.
It went on a loop, though.
But still, we were, like, amazed. It was like, wow.
It was voice music, right?
Yeah.
Like, what the hell?
Yeah. What was next? I really enjoyed Assassins. Is it Assassins or Assassin?
Mate,
you ever played that one?
That game.
It's good, dude. It's sort of like a Strider ripoff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Team 17 made it. Yeah, it's a really, really good game.
Jeez, I would have thought I'd know all my Team 17 games.
It's sort of think of Strider mixed with Switchblade.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's like that. Going to more recent times, because I never actually owned an Amiga back in the day. Games that I enjoy now that I've discovered and been recommended. One would have to be Disposable Hero or Heroes. Have you played that?
No.
Wow. It is phenomenal. It is a shmup, side-scrolling shoot 'em up, and it blows me away. It's just so friggin' good.
What happened? What's the premise of the game?
It's a thing of R-Type, but it's like a steampunk.
Ooh.
Steampunk look to it. Yeah, it's really, really good.
Well, Chaos Engine's like more of a steampunk.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that sort of.
It's a space shooter. Yeah. Yeah, it's cool. A shooter. Yeah, I absolutely loved it. Another one, Agony. I really loved Agony. That was, I think it's Synopsis. Synopsis.
Oh, yeah, Synopsis.
Yeah, you know, you're an owl.
Oh, Psygnosis.
Psygnosis.
The one with the owl. Yeah.
The owls. You're actually playing the owl.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I know. I didn't know to remember the. I couldn't remember the name, but yes, I do remember that game. I did play it.
Yeah, so, geez, what else? There's always a... There's a few more, but I just can't remember them. Lionheart. That has to be up there. Brilliant.
Yeah, Lionheart. I can't even remember. It was a knighty type game, wasn't it?
A what? Sorry.
Knights.
No. You're like He-Man, like a barbarian.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's really good. It'll be on your Amiga, for sure.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Give it a go. It's really good. I thought I liked it that much. I thought, I'm gonna get myself a original copy. There's no chance. It's mega expensive.
Is it? Oh, wow.
It's very, very, very expensive, yeah, so that ain't going to happen. It's no point anyway. I'll probably buy it and the disc won't work. That's a problem with lately. I found it with Amiga games. A lot of them that I've bought, games just don't work.
Would you believe, I've actually bought brand new ST games that don't work. But second hand, no worries, they work. Figure that one out.
Yeah, it must be those discs. I've bought C64 disc games and they work perfectly.
There's a lifespan to it for sure.
Of course. But for the, 3.5 floppies to, degrade quicker than, the 5 and a quarter.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. But anyway, but they're mine. It just, I could go on all night. So.
I'm impressed, Des. I'll be honest, and I can't recall those games at all, which is an embarrassment. But yeah, man, thank you very much for pulling those out, man. I've actually taken note. I'm hanging to check out Savage and Disposable Euro now.
Dude, Savage, do you have your Amiga hooked up to a stereo or something?
I've got the audio lines 1200 sitting underneath it, so yeah, man.
Pump that shit up, dude. Seriously, it is phenomenal.
So the neighbours will love me, you reckon?
Yeah, oh, it's so good. You know what? Just quickly, I'm going to play some of the music right now.
Woo!
So how's that?
Oh,
wicked. How wicked is that?
That's awesome.
Oh, man.
Anyway, okay. All right, go, Alex.
Me? Oh.
Well, yeah, Amiga, Atari, yeah, Amiga.
Amiga ST back to Amiga.
Yeah.
Look, man, it Hostages. I know it's not everyone's favorite game, but I just played that to bloody death on the ST. Super Sprint, Speedball 2.
Great game.
Yeah,
man, that was a defining game in my childhood.
Yeah, and I was actually pleasantly surprised to see that it was voted the best sports game by Retro Gamer magazine. Would you believe?
Wow,
yes. that's a pretty big call for best sports game. I would have thought it'd be a sensible game for sure.
Sensible World of Soccer was up there, I think, in the top three. But Speedball 2 Brutal Deluxe was number one.
Ice cream.
Yeah. Hats off to the Bitmap Brothers for that.
Yeah, clever.
Classic game.
Absolutely. Sidewinder, shoot 'em up.
Of course.
Yep. International Karate Plus. Yeah, I know. Look, I loved it on the 64, but also equally loved it on the ST as well.
Wow.
What's the wow for, guys?
I like the Amiga one, but I just didn't think it had the same charm. I would assume the ST1 would be the same.
It is, I must admit. If I had a choice between the 64 and the ST, it will be the 64 version. I reckon it sounds better, and it just... I don't know. It feels like you're actually connected to the actual a fighter for some reason. But the ST version is still pretty good. Right? I still played it a lot. Mm-hmm. Alien Syndrome, I played the heck out of.
Wow,
yeah,
okay.
ST, yeah. Rainbow Islands.
I preferred Alien Syndrome on the Master System. Anyway,
really? Nah.
I like
C64. C64 version for me.
Okay. I can't recall playing on the 64, but played it to death on the ST. Test Drive, Love Test Drive on I thought it was fantastic, you know, changing gears and seeing your screen smash, and I thought it was awesome.
Would you be bold to say that would be the first car sim game?
Was it? I can't remember.
I don't know. I'm asking the question. What do you think?
That's a very good question. I don't know without looking it up, but I also loved Lombard Rally as well. That was like a sim a rally game, but I can't remember if that came out before or after Test Drive, but I really, really love playing those games. And I guess Stunt Car Racer was also another one, but I still prefer it on the 64. Look, I can go and I can say Barbarian. I just love, you know, chopping heads off and hearing the actual bounce of your head.
That game's just perfect.
Phenomenal, isn't it? It's so simple, but...
One of my favourite Epics games. I know we're talking about Epics, but definitely one of my favourite Epics games, Barbarian.
Absolutely. Look, man, there was Blood Money, another shoot 'em up, Captain Blood. And I know I didn't actually play this that much, but I know people reckon it was the best thing ever, Dungeon Master on the ST. Now, I'm not an RPG person, but from what I saw from friends playing it, it did look absolutely fantastic. But yeah, I'm not an RPG type person, so, you know, I thought I'll give it a shout out, but I didn't play it that much. But yeah, man, they're the main games I pretty much smashed the ST on.
In no particular order, of course.
Absolutely no particular order, no.
Yeah, and that's how I'm going to be as well, because if I start trying to rate my number 1 to 10, whatever, it would be too difficult for me. So in no particular order whatsoever. Obviously, my games are all Amiga-based, and these are the games that I grew up with and loved dearly. Sensible World of Soccer being... I mean, look, I think that would have to be number 1 for me anyway, because I think it's a game that was just amazing in terms of the managerial type. If you're a big soccer buff like I am, Tim... you know, it's one of these games that you can manage, you can buy players, sell players, and play a fantastic game at the same time. So hats off to John here and the team at Sensible Software, because that was a brilliant game and redefining, I think, as well. Games such as Syndicate that I absolutely adored on the Amiga, whether or not you guys have played Syndicate at all.
I've fooled around with it, but I've never actually played it properly.
Yeah, okay. Same on a CD32.
The Amiga 500, like the Amiga version, is just brilliant. Yeah. Cannon Fodder, again by the Sensible Software boys, a very fun war has never been so much fun. But it's a good game. Point and shoot and from a top down type of a view, it was a cool game, very funny and humorous and making fun of war in some small way. Pinball Fantasies. Another fantastic game.
Matt, I want to kiss you. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Played it a lot on my Amiga 500 keyboard, using the space bar to tilt the fucking thing to try and get things going. I haven't mentioned any of my Quest games, but, you know, Monkey Island, Secret Monkey Island, and Monkey Island 2, LeChuck's Revenge were both brilliant games in the Amiga, as well as the Sierra games like Police Quest, King's Quest, Space Quest. These games were awesome. Actually, I learned how to type because of them, and Leisure Suit Larry, of course. funny enough, you mentioned Speedball 2 because that was awesome. One game I wanted to mention and make special mention is CinemaWare's Wings, one of the best games on the Amiga, and I'd rate that in my top 5 for sure. And the remastered version's out, and again, that's actually awesome. The good thing about the remastered version is the fact that it stays true to the original. It doesn't try and go places that the original didn't, and all it basically is upgraded graphics, sound, and voice is basically what it's giving you, and I'm addicted to it. I love it. And you pick that up on Steam right now, so it's cool. Other CinemaWare classics that I loved was obviously It Came from the Desert, Defender of the Crown,
Three Stooges.
Yeah, Three Stooges were cool as well, right? I mean, the fun mini games that you used to play on that. I know I keep on going here, but it's hard not to. North and South.
I never actually played it.
Never played it? No.
So
this is American Civil War. It's a fun game, sort of top-down view again, and it's just full-on war. It's fantastic. And like games like Megalomania as well.
I love that game
and
so much.
And Ball, Stunt Car Racer. One other game I want to mention is Street Rod.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
So this is the game where you can lose your car for pink slips.
That's right.
Yeah, the king.
The king, mate. You have to beat the king. And it was so much better when you had the Meg expansion in the actual Amiga as well. You noticed the difference in not only graphic but sound with that game. Mm.
Really? So you can actually see the difference.
You can see the difference. Hear and see the difference, without a doubt. And where would I be if I didn't mention Another World?
You like the music at the end, yeah?
I do. I do like the music at the end. But Another World, Eric Chahai's brilliant, epic game, was absolutely brilliant. It was a new level of, animation, really, in terms of the way the character moved. It was very human-like. I don't know what you would call it. It's a 2D shmup, but not. But, but like sort of fighter, then adventure, and everything about that game. The storyline's brilliant. Music's fantastic.
You know, it's funny. Look, do you mind if I just cut in for a second?
Yeah.
It's funny how these memories just start coming back. This is just something that I completely forgot. How I actually first saw Another World. First time I actually played it. Yeah, I won't be long. Because I used to play the Amiga at family friend's house all the time. He used to always play Super Hang-On and all that. Used to walk to his house and all that. So then, I used to play the 64. But then there was a stage where, how old would I have been? Yeah, I didn't really play it a lot at one stage. And then I had a friend in primary school. In grade 6, and his name was Hui, and he was new to the school, and he goes to me, come over, Hui, and he goes, come over, and I go, okay, so I was grade 6, anyway, I rode my bike to his house, and he had an Amiga there, and I'm like, oh, cool, I haven't played one for a while, he goes, oh, I've got this cool game, it was Another World, and no shit, it blew me away, I was just like, how is this even possible?
The intro blows you away.
Just the intro was just, oh.
Have you guys seen, I don't know if you guys seen, I saw it on YouTube the other day, was Another World live action.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Of the intro, how good is that?
Yeah.
Did you ever play it, Alex, Another World?
I did, and likewise, man, totally blown away.
You got to look at this live action intro, man.
Yeah, yeah. I'll check it out after this, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, Another World.
Imagine that, would that be possible to be put on a C64? Would they be able to do a basic version of that?
Nah,
I can't. I reckon they could pull it off.
It wouldn't be anywhere near as. I mean, the sound and.
No, sound, no. Graphics, no, it wouldn't look as good, but I think that they could do the game justice. Look, they pulled off Prince of Persia.
Yeah, Prince of Persia's. I don't think it's graphically. You can't compare that with Another World in terms of.
No. But I reckon, but it's the animation. If they can pull the animation off like they did on Prince of Persia, there any aspiring game developers, do it. Do it for me.
Yeah. There's a challenge for you.
Yeah, there's a challenge. Yeah. I don't care if it's five discs, double sided. Just do it.
I challenge you to put it on cassette tape.
Yeah. Multi-laid 90-minute tape, yeah.
But anyway, that was my ramble. Sorry.
Just a couple of other games quickly I have to make mention of is Super Frog, one of Team 17's greatest games. Fantastic. Like, fantastic platformer. Mm. Really brilliant. Also, TV Sports Football. Can't go past by mentioning that for some reason. How awesome is that game? That's what got me into Gridiron.
Me too, Matt. And I'm glad you mentioned it. I totally forgot to actually put that on my ST list. Yes, that was a... Oh, man, loved it. Loved it.
Yeah. It's just great the whole thing about it, right? It was just... it was like you were actually... Like, because you had the commentary... I mean, not voice commentary, of course, but, it cut away to the guys at the desk, at the sports desk, and then... it was just a cool game. And it was fun to play. And I used to score heaps of touchdowns, man. I was a fiend at that game. Of course, Gods, again, by the Bitmap Brothers. One of the all-time greatest 2D platformer action game that I've ever played.
I should give that some attention. I've never been tempted to play it.
Really?
Yeah.
It's dude. And just a couple more, and I'll stop. Midnight Resistance.
If you guys on the Amiga, I never played on the Amiga.
Yeah, I played on the Amiga.
I loved it on the 64, but no, I can't remember playing on the Amiga.
Well, it's on the Amiga. Definitely play it. Great game. Of course, Silkworm.
Oh, that's such a good port.
Yeah.
Silkworm was another great fun to play in two-player mode as well.
It's funny, that's the first game I showed Greg when he came down to Australia that on the Amiga, and it blew him away.
I know, Greg Hansen, good on you. And one last but not least, Supercars 2.
Yes.
Yeah, great game. They were fun, weren't they?
They were,
Supercars series.
Supercars series were fun, and I used to sit and play that constantly. Loved it. And it was just, I suppose what made it fun is because you had the sim side to it, but you didn't. Like when you played it, it was
the upgrades.
Yeah, the upgrades. And
did you try to hold off from upgrading so you can get more money?
Yes, always.
Always. Until it got to the point. Now I have to beef up my engine. I have to get better tires, or I'm spinning out everywhere.
I think I did you do about 5 or 6, maybe even 8 races before you'd even look at upgrading because you just want to try and save as much cash.
From memory, I think there was a cheat. I don't know if it worked on the Amiga, but on the C64, if you put your name as Richie Rich, I think you get unlimited money.
Yeah. See, I used to do that, and one game I didn't mention was Sim City, right? And I used to do, I think it was FUND or something, Fund. And you do that and you get $10,000 each time or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Or $1,000 each time. So I used to do that 100 times. So then I have all this money and I build this awesome city. I mean, I was losing money on it all the time, but it was great. Yeah.
You cheaters, you.
I know.
Unbelievable.
But yeah, as I said, I can talk about the Amiga and games till the cows come home. So I'll stop there. But I think it's shit all over the SD.
That just Matt, sorry. I was about to pay you a compliment and then you go ahead and absolutely screw me over.
Oh, sorry, man. What was the compliment?
Thanks, mate. No, I was going to say, just goes to show how awesome these computers were, right? The fact that we could probably spend another hour just talking about all the other fantastic games on them. The ones that you guys have brought up, I'm absolutely speechless because you can still play them and they're still awesome. The simulator games are absolutely gorgeous games and they still look fucking good till this day. So testament to the awesome hardware. So 30-year-old hardware and still looks awesome. So
crazy, isn't it, when you think about it?
It is.
But I mean, I could, as I said, the reason why the Amiga is so profound to me is I grew up on that thing.
Yeah.
That's my childhood right there.
Yeah, now look, the Amiga was awesome, man. Full stop, and testament to the computer. I mean, if you go to our Facebook page, I know Daz asked the question of, between the Amiga and ST, and if you have a look, pretty much everything's Amiga.
Yeah, and I'll read that out, actually.
Yeah, go for it, man, go for it.
All right, okay. So, yeah.
Good
segue. There you go. So, yeah, question. Which system do you prefer out of the Amiga and Atari ST, and why? Mark Humes. Who remembers X-Copy? Oh, I do, actually. What was the other good one? Got Raw Copy on my mind. Was that it? I don't know, actually. But yeah, if A500 was the pick. Bigger community, the expansion options over the ST, but the ST had a nicer looking case. Raspberry Runix. Runix. Poofed. Poofed. Amiga all day. XP, Atari ST. All day, yeah. Atari ST did shine in the music world, though, I guess. Yeah. Aaron Clement. The A500 is my weapon of choice, only because I didn't know anyone with the ST back in the day. Too many lost hours playing Ivan Stewart's Off-Road, popular SimCity, Eye of the Beholder, Gods, and more. But yeah, so I'm in the same boat as him with the ST.
That's an interesting one, Populous, because I got to say, I never could get into Populous.
I never actually played it.
I really tried. I even tried it on the Atari Lynx just to give it a go, but I just can't get into it.
You know what? Play it on the ST.
I don't think it'll make a difference somehow. That's Peter Molyneux's, one of Peter Molyneux's first games.
Yeah?
That just came out before Megamania. Megalomania.
Oh, and how good. I think. But Megalomania is so much better.
Oh, it's so much better. It's pick up and play, more or less. But anyway, okay, next. Andrew Birch, the Amiga 500 wins for me. But only by default, since I never had exposure to the Atari. I heard positive things about it, though. Wow. Dutch Falscher. Amiga, but Atari ST did occasionally outshine the Amiga. You should show the difference between the Captain Blood music on Amiga and ST, and ST won in that comparison of synth versus sample music. But in most other cases, Amiga was heaps better. Look at the ST port of Shadow of the Beast. Ran choppy and didn't even have music while playing. Well, I didn't know that.
Oh, come on, man. I can rattle off a handful of other games that played like shit on the Amiga, but awesome on the ST. But, you know, we've only got X amount of minutes, so go on.
I think, Corley, I think Alex is black and bruised at the moment.
he's basically messed up now.
Never.
Nah, TKO's coming up, dude.
You know what? My corner's got the towel ready and I've time to fuck it off. Because if you read Matthew Rook says, love the Atari ST. Oh, but yeah, Amiga picked it. Oh, damn, dog. I should have said it before I said that.
down for the count. Down for the count, mate.
Go, Alex.
Yeah, Anthony Pugh, very similar, but overall I prefer the Amiga. Usually had better colours. Yeah, it's true. Improved graphics and sometimes the games ran better. I'm glad he says sometimes. Brian Heaps had both, but Amiga just edges it for me. Both had good and bad points, but overall great machines. Well done, Brian. And this is the thing, right? Yeah, if you've got both machines, they're equally fantastic. But Michael Dodd, I had both in the day. Go, Michael. Pretty similar for the most part. Wasn't into creating MIDI music, so that wasn't the important. That wasn't important on the ST. Probably give the Amiga the advantage as it had a few more colours and ran games a bit smoother. Love titles like Stunt Car.
Click.
Click, yes. Xenon, oh yeah, of course, Xenon 2, Mega Blast, Paradroid 90, Battle Chess, Bubble Bobble, Lemmings. Oh, Lemmings. I can't believe it, yeah.
We didn't even mention Lemmings. Far out.
I know, shit.
So, Wings, just to name a few. Bought a few games, but then would meet someone after school at the local shops to buy some copies of games. Pirating back in the day took some serious dedication. Yeah,
yes, it did.
It did.
Oh, but that's what it was all about. Especially the Amiga.
Well, the schoolyard marketplace was thriving, mate, back in the late 80s, early 90s. So, actually, I was going to ask you, too, when do you reckon was the actual, the premium or the sweet spot for both computers? Like, what particular years?
89, 90.
Yeah, good.
No, I reckon a little bit later for the Amiga. I reckon for my Amiga 500. I just remember secondary school, mate, and I think I was in, like, year 8, you know, and that would have been, you know, 92 for me. And I remember Sensible World of Soccer dominating my life.
Fair
enough. So I think it was, I reckon, early 90s, in my opinion.
No, I'm with Daz, 89, 90, because I think once the 90s kicked off with the consoles, 16-bit consoles, they sort of,
faded.
Yeah, they relegated the computers a bit. That was from my own personal experience.
Mm. Okay. No, same here.
Now, next question. Did you actually want to go on to, we asked the guys on the wall about their top five games, either on the ST or Amiga.
We can do that. You've got Twitter as well, haven't you?
Oh, I do. So you guys go ahead and read out the Facebook ones and I'll read out the Twitter ones.
Okay. Did you want to do it, Corley? Have you got the page up at all?
I
can do it. That's fine. That's
okay. Sure.
Okay.
I haven't got it up. Do you want me to get it up?
Get it up. Keep it in your pants.
Yeah, yeah. That's all right. I'll go. Okay.
Had it up all podcast. Okay.
Okay, as Alex mentioned, what were your top five games on the Atari ST or Amiga? Our first one off the ranks is Paul Barbara. How you going, Paul? For me, I must say I really enjoyed so much on the Amiga 500. It's hard to come up with some titles, even five, laugh out loud. But here he goes. Megalomania, great game, clocked it many times, I agree. Supercars 2, top-down car title, so much fun. It's funny, man, he's picking what you like. Corley?
I know.
Yeah. Well, Kickoff. There you go. Kickoff.
I know. I forgot to mention Kickoff.
The best game out. Well, Sensible Soccer rocked, but much later on.
Dino Dini's Kickoff. Awesome game.
Gods. Graphically amazing and a top platformer. The Speedball 2 by Bitmap Brothers. They made some awesome games in the day. That's my quick top five. No doubt I'll hear something else.
You've heard every single one from me there, mate.
Cheers, folks. Steve Zug Parker. Megalomania, Spibble to Moonstone. Moonstone.
See,
a Hard Day's Night.
That is a great game. And that was like the first where you chop off people's limbs in it. It's fantastic.
Civilization, Pirates. I loved Pirates.
Sidmere's Pirates, of course.
Yeah. Eye of the Beholder, Syndicate, Lemmings, Worms, Nuclear War. I've never heard of that one.
Yes, Nuclear War was where you pick your president and you build up your arsenary and you bomb each other. So you pick, and your presidents are all caricatures.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've got like Ronald Reagan. It's all, you know, like 80s presidents, right? Gorbachev, and then you've got Margaret Thatcher, and it's awesome. Nuclear War, and it's actually available to you, mate. It's you would have it on the Omega. Check it out.
Cool. Okay, I will. Yeah. Prince of Persia, Battle Chess. I'll stop now, but this should be thousands of titles long. This could be thousands of titles long. Sorry. Aaron Clement, mine in no particular order. Ivan Stewart's Off-Road was an absolute cracker of an arcade port. Yeah. SimCity, the original and still one of the best. Gods, goes without saying. Swiv, who gets to use a helicopter. Argument Simulator 101. Kickoff, I suck at soccer, but was always fun to play against my mate. And last one, Karen Coffey. My top five for the ST. Here we go, we got ST.
Woohoo!
Kickoff 2, Powermonger, F-19, Lotus 2, and Rainbow Islands.
And all those games are available on the Amiga.
Yeah.
Oh, crawly.
Sorry, man. I'm not bagging the Atari ST. I just think it's shit. No. I don't want to bag the Atari ST because it could be any computer, dude. It could be anything, and it would be the same way for me.
I know. No, that's fair enough, man. Look, the fact that you're so passionate about the Amiga, that's what it's all about, man. That's good.
Yeah. Mm.
Friendly rivalry. That's all good.
It is.
Oh, so, yeah, Alex, let's go to Twitter.
Yeah, man, Twitter. Okay, Twitter was a mixed bag. We'll start off with Jaguar Reboot. Hey. ST Games, awesome. IK Plus, International Karate Plus. Vroom, awesome F1 simulator type game. Buggy Boy.
Great game.
Yeah, great game. Super Sprint. Na-na-na-na-na. Amiga, you miss out. Stunt Car Racer and Midi Maze. Chris Caradaglis, or Squish. Well, that's his Twitter name. Sorry. Hacker 1 and 2. Now, I don't know. I'm pretty sure he's talking about the ST here, but Hacker 1 and 2, Alien Syndrome. And he says, some tank game with cubes and pyramids, but the name escapes me. Now, I don't recall playing a tank game with cubes and pyramids, so I don't know. Sounds like a Battle Zone
Zone.
That's coming back to me a little bit, actually.
Yeah.
Like on the Amiga, I played it as well. Look, let me think about it. You keep talking, Alex.
Cool. All right. Actually, I'll apologize to Chris if I've actually mispronounced his surname or his Twitter handle. Jason Oakley, he just picked Carrier Command. Now, Carrier Command on what? Jason, I think you'll probably go Amiga for sure. Jimmy Koopman has gone for Speedball 2, Sensible Soccer, Rocket Ranger, Defender of the Crown, and XCOM. Keith E. Young, Esquire. Wings, Champions of Kryn. Never heard of it, actually.
Yeah, it's a D&D game. Dungeons & Dragons, yeah.
Okay. TV Sports, Basketball, Populous, and SimCity. And now to my mate from LA, Freakin' Frankie, right? Now, he asked me to read these out in a very sexy voice, so this is my sexiest voice, Frankie. He's picked Batman the Movie, Neuromancer.
That's sexy? Come on.
I know. That's Vulcan sexy.
Come on. Jesus Christ. Freaking Frankie, mate, I've been absolutely hacked to death here. Sensible World of Soccer.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Was.
Lotus 2. And Turrican 2. Oh, yeah, baby. Well,
it's Amiga, yeah?
Yeah, Amiga, yeah. Freaking Frankie's an absolute massive Amiga nut. And he did say he wanted to come on this, but I reminded him that it was 2:30 a.m. in LA. And, he was like, wow, yeah, nah. Not for me, but wouldn't mind having him on sometime. Good bloke. He also, look, he said didn't quite make it, but close up there was Syndicate and Flashback. And he also said Cruise for a Corpse. Never heard of that game. Matt, have you
heard of it? No, I haven't. I haven't heard that one.
Rings a bell, but...
Yeah. And then look, he threw in some CD titles and AGA titles like Slam Tilt, but I said, no, mate, you can't pick those. So, they're out. So there we go. Freak and Frankie, hopefully I did your top five justice, mate, with my unsexiest voice ever.
The name comes back in terms of the tank and the pyramids. Oh, yeah? Whether or not this is the game that he was talking about, but Firepower.
Oh, Firepower. There we go. Chris, is it Firepower, mate?
Because I did. I have played Firepower heaps, and that was a good two-player game because it was tank versus tank, and it's cool. It's a cool game. Well, Firepower is the game I remember.
Thank you. Corley.
Wow.
You really need to load up Cruise for a Corpse.
Oh, really?
I've seen the cover before, but I never played the game. It's a point and click, dude. Oh, it looks like Monkey Island.
Who did it?
Let me have a look. Yeah, Delphin Software.
Oh, wow.
Oh, US Gold, published by US Gold, developed by Delphin Software.
Now, Frankie's got some very, very good taste. So if he says it's up there, then it must be pretty good.
Oh yeah. Ah yes. Very nice. It looks like my type of game.
Matt, don't blow your load all at once, mate. Relax.
I think we're going to have to change this podcast to an explicit.
Right. Oh, yes. Yes.
G-rated. And it's not even me doing all the, geez, it's very Broken Sword-like, dude.
Yeah.
Like it's, me like a lot. Cruise for a Corpse. Got to try and find that one now.
There we go.
I love learning new things.
And there's no Atari ST version of it.
Oh,
yes, there is.
You dirty boy.
Looking at this, it's giving you options. Like when you have conversations, it gives you heaps of options to choose from. Like when you talk to people and stuff.
Mm. It's funny because I used to see that cover in magazines. And I thought this looks boring because it's got a detective in front of a cruise ship or something. I'm like,
yeah, that's right.
That doesn't look exciting at all, but. I might actually give it a go.
And that's why it's awesome interacting with all these awesome people around the world.
Of course. Thank you, Frankie.
Yeah. Yeah, we learn something new every day. I love it.
I think it is first person, though, just looking at it a little bit.
Nah, it's not.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
No.
Yeah, no, I'm
looking. All right.
Cool.
Let's get things moving along. The choice of publisher this episode is Epix. I mean, who did I choose last week?
Ocean, my friend.
Ocean, yeah. And Alex has chosen Epix.
Cool.
Yeah. I love Epix.
Love Epix. Now,
Epic.
Or Epic, Epix.
Epix. Is it?
No. No.
It's Epic. Epic. It's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, that's right.
Mm. Now, sorry, man, I know. There we go. A perfect joke ruined by an absolute muppet. Yeah.
DC.
A DC, and that's not a Dreamcast too. So you're... Epic's actually started a little bit before Ocean. So they actually started off as automated simulations in 1978. Believe it or not. Now I don't know if you two blokes were around back then in 1978.
No, I
was born in 1978.
Ah, well, there we go, mate. So,
I'm a year later.
See, we weren't even around, mate. There we go. Yeah, good old Epix. Their history is checkered, especially towards the end when they filed for bankruptcy, which was quite sad. But they made a shitload of great games. And I know we're going to go through the list, so I'm not going to actually sabotage and go through the list yet, because I'll throw to you guys in a second to give us your favourite Epix games. But with automated simulations, when they came out, they actually came with a game called Temple of Apshai, which is a dungeon crawler RPG, part of the Dungeon Quest series. Now, I don't know if any of you guys have played that.
Never played it, but I've heard of it.
Yeah, that pretty much set them on a trajectory, going up. So it set up the company perfectly. Now, the reason they changed the name to Epix is because some of their later games weren't actual simulations. So I thought, it was a bit misleading. So come up with the Epix name. And the rest, as they say, is history. But before I, start going off on tangents and talking about my favorite games, which the list is very, very long, I'll throw it over to you, Mr. Corley.
On my, my favorite. How many Epics games should I choose?
You know what? Choose as many as you like, and I know we're probably going to double up, but
yeah. I mean, I'll probably do about maybe four or five.
It'd probably be a bit difficult for you because you didn't have a C64 or because they were big on the 8-bit.
They were back in the day. They were also on the Amiga as well.
Yeah,
but yeah.
I mean, like Barbarian's a classic example. Which was a great Epics game, and probably my favourite Epics game, because I mean, as much as I love California games and winter and summer games, I find there were a lot of fun. Don't get me wrong, there were heaps of fun, in particular on the Atari 2600, especially with winter and summer games. They were fantastic. But California games was a great game. But I think Barbarian sort of broke away from their tradition, didn't it?
Yeah, that
great game.
That was developed by Palace Software, published by Epic. So yeah, that was an awesome game. Well, both Barbarians actually. Did you actually like one or the other?
I liked two.
Yep.
I prefer the first one.
Yeah, the first one was a classic, wasn't it?
It's better, yeah. But two was good. I didn't mind it.
It's just a good versus game, mate. One on one versus game. It was fantastic. And of course, California games. I mean, I find it frustrating. As a frustrating game, just because the BMX bit, I fucking hate it.
Which particular system, man? Is there a particular system that you actually enjoyed California games on?
I liked it on the I like playing it on the Atari Lynx.
Yep.
Believe it or not, but it was just the BMX version. Was probably the worst. I just can't master that whatsoever. So I think. I sort of put the game down as a result. But I like California games too on the Master System as well.
I despise California games. Despise it.
Daz, okay? Daz, let's not go there, please.
I really don't like it.
Daz, what did I just say, please?
I don't like it. It's a game that I just couldn't get the hang of. Used to piss me off. Now, like, really bad.
Now, if I get in my car, I should be at your place within about 45 minutes.
And then you're going to talk to me sexy?
You wish. I'll be carrying my cricket bat and my mate crowbar.
Wow, you're very passionate about kind of...
I am, mate.
Wow.
You dare. You can rubbish the ST, but you rubbish California games and you've stepped over the line, my friend.
Over
the line.
Yeah, it's getting serious.
What? Yes, don't you want to jump rope with the backdrop of like New York City, dude? Like, that's fun. That's California games.
Yeah, no.
I'm joking, man. No. He's
sarcastic. I know. Oh, is there any more? Any more?
Not that I've played. I know there's much more, but they're the games that I particularly sort of stayed true to on the Amiga. Mm-hmm. And other systems, of course. But yeah, that'd be it for me. Impossible Mission, I don't even mention.
Oh.
I don't think it's worth a mention. International Karate is another good game.
That's System 3.
System 3, yeah. But it's an Epic's license. Epic's licensed the game.
Did they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay.
Got one up. Got one up on you there, Daz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's not really an Epic's game.
Well, they still licensed it.
Punch on.
I'm going to throw my California Games case at you, Corley.
No problems. If you've got, I'm sure you've got it on the Master System. Why don't you give it to me then? I've got it. But
Daz, hand them over.
Yeah.
No.
You don't deserve it, man.
What happened to playing game, like getting games to play, Darren? What happened to that?
Yeah, I don't know. You tell me. All right, let's get this. Funny enough, I played a lot of Epic's games as a kid, and. Probably the more quirkier ones, like Breakdance. Did you ever play that?
You are spitting me out, Daz.
I love it.
Where the hell do you pull these games out from?
I was dead serious, man.
No, I'm teasing, mate. Go on.
Yeah, I know. I thought you were going to say, I loved it too.
No, I did not, but go on.
I loved Breakdance. I love the Street Sports series.
Yeah, great game.
Soccer and basketball. I didn't play the football one. Your World Games is probably my favourite out of the game series.
Ooh.
I really, really liked it. I really did. The cliff diving and all that. Loved it.
On which particular system, but?
C64.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Hot Wheels, I loved.
Oh.
That was so good. I remember you used to customize your own car, and it was a fantastic game. A lot of loading. You really needed a disk drive to play it, but it was so, so good. Pit Stop 2 with a friend. You can't beat it.
Yes, excellent. I'm glad you actually said Pit Stop. Yeah, Pit Stop 2.
Yes, so good. So, so good. Jumpman Jr. I played so much, you know, and I still play it today. Absolutely love Jumpman Jr. But last but not least, it's probably my favourite Epics game, besides Barbarian, was G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero.
I've never actually played it.
Dude, it's phenomenal.
I played that on the Nintendo.
Damn.
Yeah, it's a different game. It's a completely different game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And it was awesome. What was the commander's name? The main guy on the good side. Do you remember his name?
The good
side.
I only remember Cobra Khan, but the main guy was...
I can't remember.
People are blaspheming to us right now.
I can't remember. But yeah. Anyway, it's funny because whenever it tells you to flip the disc, you'd see him holding a floppy disc saying, "Turn the disc." It was just so cool. It was just a great game. Really, really, really good game.
Okay.
Damn. Mm. Well, they're mine. They're mine. They're the ones that stood out for me, yeah.
Fair.
They're the ones that stood. I wasn't going to name all the common ones, like Impossible Mission and all that, so.
Oh, so you're going to leave that to me, are you?
Oh, you mentioned your favourites.
Impossible Mission is definitely one of my favourites.
Yeah.
Actually, I like both of them, the first and second one. I know the second one isn't as popular, but I reckon it's cool. Look, I reckon their games, as in the sports games, the event ones, summer games, winter games, world games, California games, awesome, right? And they are still actually pretty cool to play to this day, and on pretty much every platform, I reckon. Chips Challenge.
That was good. Yeah, it was good.
Chips Challenge. Look, 1989 was their watershed year just before they went broke. They created a lot of games on the Lynx as well. Electric Cop, Chips Challenge, Zala Mercenary, Gates of Zendikon. But some of the other games that I really, really enjoyed playing was Super Cycle. I don't know if you're a big fan of...
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, that was good.
And before I actually forget... I know, I don't know if you actually had one in the day, but the Epics Fast Load cartridge. So I know they're well known for their software, but they made two pieces of hardware or software. The Epics Fast Load, did you have one, Daz, back in the day?
Not back in the day, but I have one now.
Uh-huh. They also made the shitty Print Magic, which I still have and don't know how to use it, but anyway, besides the point. And the 500XJ joystick. You know, the Konix speaking?
Yeah.
And obviously the Handy. So, you know, one of the main reasons to actually... I picked Epics today was because the link back to the Lynx. So, you know, they did create the Handy, and unfortunately Atari, took it off them and named it as the Lynx, which I still love.
Mm-hmm.
But, Street Sports, I love the Street Sports range as well, of games as well. So, favourite... It will be the games. I can't pick between World, Summer, Winter, or California. I really, really, truly love them all the same.
Well, look, I mean, because I really don't like California games, I'm not going to add it in there, but Winter Games is probably the weakest one for me out of the Winter, Summer, and World.
Is that because of the events?
The events. It's just, I didn't really take to them.
Okay, fair enough. California Games on the Lynx is probably one of my favourite games. 25 years later, I'm still playing it, loving it. And I know you guys aren't fans, or Corley, you are. I'm pretty sure you're both not fans of the Lynx in particular, because it's slightly not the same. It's a bit different than the computer versions and the console versions. So it's only got the four events, but they're all awesome events.
Which ones are on there?
So you haven't got the frisbee, and you haven't got the roller skating events on there, right?
Okay, that's
But the mechanics of gameplay for the surfing, it's the opposite. So you're going from right to left. The BMX is absolutely hacked. I actually prefer it on Lynx. footbag is the same, and the half pipe is the same as well. But yeah, the BMX and the surfing, the two awesomest events, are different on the links, and I reckon that's what makes it fantastic. And I know you guys aren't fans, but maybe if you actually gave it a bit of, gave it a chance, you might actually like it. No?
No, I'll try anything. I just found the game too damn hard. It took the fun away from it for me. But I'm referring to the C64 one. Okay. I'm talking about the C64 version, though.
Oh, look, I remember even on the C64, I was absolutely shit, especially the BMX, right? Because the slightest move and you hit a log, this, that, it used to piss me off. But I just thought it was like, I didn't actually play anything before that was anything like it. So to me, it was a wow factor, but I thought it was well done, and I kept on trying, and I got, you know, I was playing okay, but yeah, I remember playing it first and just being frustrated with it on the 64.
That was probably my best event.
The BMX?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That was the hardest for me.
I probably enjoyed the surfing the most, but I still didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah, the surfing is okay on the console and computer versions, but the Lynx is much better because you actually earn points by jumping off the wave and doing, yeah, you know, quadruple spins and whatnot, and getting points for that. So yeah, that's what I like better. Whereas the actual computer version is more technical.
Yeah.
Or traditional surfing, I guess.
Cool. Are there any more?
Look, I can probably name a few more, but no, they're the main ones that I want to call out.
All right, cool bananas. Well, that's it.
No.
We've made it.
Wow.
God, that's gone quick. That's gone quick.
It does. It has gone quick.
Unscathed as well.
There you go.
Episode 2's a wrap, and I reckon it's a dead heat. What do you reckon, Corley, between the Amiga and the ST? don't laugh, mate. Come on.
You know, everyone's a winner, baby, and that's no lie.
Don't go diplomatic. no, I mean, look, yeah, you knew you were going to be blown out of the water there, Alex, I think, in this regard, mate. You know, look, I mean, as much as I love you, and I do, you're going to definitely be blown out of the water by the sheer brilliance of what the Commodore Amiga is and was all about.
Okay.
Nah, they all win. They all win.
They do. They
both
do.
Of them.
Nah, look, you know. It's all fun. It's all fun.
Yeah, the Amstrad wins. Yeah.
did they actually make a 16-bit computer?
No, I don't think they did.
Yeah. No. Well, that's it for the show, guys. Would you like some quick shout-outs?
Go, Mr. Corley, since you're the special guest.
Oh, yep. Shout-outs. Okay, well, look, shout-out to... I'm sure you probably do this already, but to the guys at Console Domination. So that's Gavin, that's Simon, and the lovely Sarah, and of course my retro life partner, Peter Bayou, which I'm looking forward to seeing this week for our Street Fighter Showdown. That's going to be awesome. Also to my Retro Domination brothers, Tim and Mark. I won't say hello to Darren because he's actually on this show. So hi, guys. And of course, Gregory, of course. Can't miss out on Gregory. And last shout out to Josh over at Bartronica, mate. It's lovely having a chat with you and looking forward to talking more. So all the best and take a break. And that's my shout outs.
Cool.
Thank you, Mr. Corley. I'll go next, Daz, if you don't mind.
Go for it.
Look, to all the people that actually I forgot to mention on the response on Twitter, sorry about that, but two people I want to actually shout out to is Stacey Borg, Dr. Curly Tech. The guy's an absolute phenomenal games player. Whatever he touches, he basically just smashes clocks. And for also doing my LCD mod on the Lynx. It's awesome. Thank you very much. And last but not least, Freakin' Frankie. Frankie, thank you very much. He did surprise me with an actual birthday gift from LA. He knows what it is, and thank you very, very much for that. I'll put it to good use. So, they're the two shout-outs for me, and over to you, Daz.
Okay, shout-out to everyone that's supported us. It's our second episode, and look, I mean, Alex and I are just gobsmacked. We're flattered with the response of the first episode. So thank you so much for everyone that tuned in, because yeah, we did this because it's fun. We like to do this kind of thing, and the response was just phenomenal. I mean, it's just like I said, it blew us away. So thank you everyone that supported us on this show. Thank you to everyone that supports us over at Retro Domination as well, and OzRetroGamer.com.
Thank you.
So yeah, that's pretty much it. And yeah, thanks for everyone that gave us their answers for today's show.
Yeah, you guys rock.
Yeah, man. Thank you very much. That is awesome.
Thank you for having me on, guys.
Yes, I was about to say, and thank you to Corley for just jumping on, last minute. Yeah. And he was more than happy to jump on.
Always happy to. And it's great to have a chat and reminiscing about things that I used to love and play with. So, thank you.
Awesome. Yeah. A virtual high five, Mr. Corley.
It is, mate. Yeah. Well, I have to be, because I'm never going to see you guys.
Come
on. You're a monster.
I think it's the Balkan man that's the monster.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, cool, guys. For next episode, we'll keep it under wraps until the next episode. How's that sound?
Sounds
about our topic.
Ooh.
I wonder what's next. What computer are we going to talk about next?
Yes.
Who knows? But anyway. All right, guys. Thank you very much for tuning in. We appreciate it. And until next time. Ciao.
Game on.